Welcome to the Edu All-Stars Podcast.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to our 31st episode of Edu All-Stars. My name is Todd Nesloni. I'm one of your hosts this evening. You can find me on Twitter at TechNinjaTodd.
My name is Chris Kessler. You can find me on Twitter at IamKessler.
We wanted to start off this episode a little different by thanking everybody for getting us to 31 episodes. It has been a great thrill ride. If you want to catch some of the other episodes that we've done with the other 30 guests, you can catch them on eduallstars.com, or you can catch them on iTunes by searching eduallstars, one word, and we would love for you to leave us a rating or feedback on iTunes, because it really helps us get up in the rankings and everything like that on iTunes. We are excited today to have our guest, Amanda Dykes. She is a sixth grade teacher in Alabama who is passionate about using technology to increase learning. So thanks, Amanda, for being here tonight with us.
Hey, guys.
Do you want to go ahead and get everybody your Twitter handle?
Yes, it is at Amanda C. Dykes, D-Y-K-E-S.
So. Easy to remember.
You think.
Okay, so we usually start off with you just telling us a little bit about your background and how you ended up in education.
Well, let's see. How I ended up in education, it was an accident. I was pre-law, and I thought, well, I'll just get a teaching certificate, so in case, you know, I didn't get into law school. And so they actually put me in elementary ed, and so when I went to talk to them into changing it, the lady said, well, you might as well, because we only let a certain number of people in, and you know, we're the top education school in the country, so this might be a good thing for you. And I was like, uh-oh, challenge? No way. So I stayed in there and actually fell in love with it. So I really was just going to stay in for a semester just to kind of tick her off, but ended up, they stuck us in education classes the first semester freshman year, so kind of fell in love with it and kind of stayed with it from there. So, and since then I've taught everything there is to teach pretty much.
So, what's your favorite grade?
Do what?
What's been your favorite to teach?
Well, I would say, I don't know. I like sixth grade. I like to, you know, you either hate sixth grade or you like it. So I have liked it. I think that would be right there. I liked first grade. I thought they were funny.
Have you taught anything above sixth grade, out of curiosity?
No. That's okay. The highest I've done.
Okay. So I've taught a sixth grade, and now I teach eighth grade, and there's a huge difference in this between a sixth grader and an eighth grader. Some good, some bad, and I really like those sixth graders though. They come in fresh and they're still really like you. And
I don't know about that.
Most of them.
That depends. This is not a good week to ask me if I like sixth grade.
yeah, the eighth graders are kind of like, we're over you.
Eighth grade's different. I did eighth grade cheerleading, so. Okay. I've been around the eighth graders. They're a lot different.
Yeah.
So tell us a little bit about what you're doing currently. It sounds like you're writing your own curriculum as you teach. Is that right?
Pretty much. I wouldn't advise anybody to ever do that, ever. It's been extremely exhausting, really exhausting. And, you know, I kind of decided to go problem-based learning with this class. Project and problem-based learning, kind of more STEM-based than, you know, project-based than, you know, memorization kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And, it has been, I don't know, it's been rough because kids have never had that before.
Yeah.
They've never had that, you know, they've always had one project, you know, that their parents could do at home or, you know, something like that. And so it's been rough. It's been rough kind of keeping it on track and having, you know, 600 projects to grade on top of writing the curriculum and lesson plans and, you know, stuff like that. So.
Talk about, does your state have a state test then that they have to take in the springtime?
Yeah, we do, which has changed this year. We're not Common Core.
Neither are we.
We kind of came up with our own. Actually, they're a little bit better than Common Core. Like, mm-hmm. You know, if I have to be... I guess the Alabama governor was not invited to the governor's thing that wrote Common Core, so we get this new superintendent who's really actually kind of awesome, and was like, well, you know what, we could do better. So,
cool.
We'll see if it is better, but we do have a state test that's changing this year. Science isn't in there, so which is what the main course that I
took. Okay, so is that why? Well, I don't want to say is that why, but do you feel more free to be able to write your own curriculum because you're not state tested every year in that subject area?
Yeah, it really does, and that's kind of why I started teaching. To be honest, that's why I was like really excited to start teaching science, because I did teach math before that, uh-huh. And it was like the stress of having to have everybody ready, for the test and all that, and then it was like, science, okay, let's do this. Uh-huh. They get tested in 7th grade, and in 2 years, they will start getting tested in 6th grade, but of course, with the technology, there is no test on that, so.
Yeah, so it's that was kind of the thing that I was with, too. In 6th grade, we had no tests. I was like project-based learning all over the place, and now we're in 8th grade, and we've got this looming test that they have to learn 3 years of content that we're... Man, it's frustrating because a lot of that memorization has to come back, and it's just it's so frustrating as a teacher.
Horrible. It's absolutely horrible. It's terrible that we have to stop, the teaching and go back to the whole memorization thing. Like, oh, yeah. We got to cram this in. I remember when I taught math, just like, okay, I know I haven't taught y'all how to do this, but let's just do this problem 100 times until you get it in your head, And that's just so wrong. So wrong.
Well, I know, Amanda, that you're also an educator that chooses to connect via social media. How did that come about when you decided to do that?
Wow, it was 5 years ago. So I've been on Twitter for a long time.
Wasn't that the first year of the internet 5 years ago?
It seems like it. There was not that many people on Twitter. But I joined in like November of that year, September, that's when it was. Oh, maybe I'm not listening. But I was in graduate school, and I was getting my EDS, and there was a girl in the class, Susan Brandt, and she was like, y'all got to check out this Twitter thing. And so I was like, yeah, okay. I signed up for an account. And then every now and then I would pull it up and, kind of look over it. And that January was during EduCon. There was a bunch of people on there talking about it and talking about things they were learning and, things like that. And man, I got so sucked in. Just, okay, I'm going to follow this guy. I'm going to follow this girl. And, I was, like, so excited about that. And the things they were saying were kind of exciting. So, and it kind of was good because I ended grad school pretty quick in that spring. And so I kind of still had people to connect with.
Right.
So one of the questions we used to ask guests early on, and we kind of got away from it, but I really like the question, is what is something that you're maybe reading right now or have read in the past year that has to do with education that you could recommend to somebody?
Yeah, and see, that's just a hard one for me. Okay, so like...
We're not talking beach fiction here.
Reading, like if I'm reading, it is not usually to think. But I will tell you that, I will say that my favorite book, education-wise, would be Making Learning Whole. Like, I love that book. I love to go back to it all the time, and I have things all bookmarked in there, and, mm-hmm. I can go back and search through it. I don't even know who wrote it. It's in my Kindle somewhere. I was trying to pull it up, and I can't remember. I want to say Perkins? I don't know. But it was Making Learning Whole, and I loved that book. Totally loved it. So, but, I'm a blog reader just because they're short.
Yeah, that's what I am. I used to love reading books, and now my brain has gotten so used to reading blogs that that's all I can really put time forth now is just to read a quick blog post.
Well, I've got two kids. I've got a 5-year-old and a 7-year-old, and, 7-year-old, she's got 5 hours of gymnastics a week and an hour and a half of dance, and you're going here and there, and it's just easy to stop for a minute and look at blogs. So, but and if I do read a book, that's kind of like my one time that I'm not thinking, and it's usually something romance.
You're right.
Novel.
It is Perkins. David Perkins is awesome.
Ah, see.
You're right.
There you go.
I do love that book. I have it like all bookmarked and everything in my Kindle. So.
Yeah. Well, you mentioned blogging, and you're also a pretty popular blogger. Have you always enjoyed writing?
No, I hate writing. I have no confidence when it comes to writing. Isn't that terrible? And I do it all the time anyway. And I think it's just because I like to talk a lot, and so it's just kind of like I could just talk, and then I don't have to really say anything. But no, my English teacher in college, we didn't have English, we had communication arts. And I remember her looking at me and going, it's a really good thing that this isn't regular English, it's communication arts, and you can do technology in there because you're a really bad writer. So in my mind, I'm a really bad writer. And so, yeah, I do get kind of, you know, insecure about writing it. But to me, it's one of those things like blogging has totally changed my teaching more than anything else because I reflect. It gives me time to stop for a minute and say, okay, I was really bad at this. I was really good. This worked out really well. Or it gives me a place to just say, oh, my gosh, this is horrible. You know, and it's kind of like a good – did I hear that? Okay. That would be my kids.
It's got a tornado.
It sounded like the aliens were
they're here. They're like,
this is going to be the best episode. Amanda's going to get taken off by aliens.
Happens.
Yeah. So, happens in Alabama.
Yeah. I know, Martians, you know. I know a lot about space, but I don't know about I don't even know what we're talking about. This is so bad. Like, you're going to be like, remember that time Amanda was on here? Oh, my God.
So it looks like one of the things you've also gotten into recently is presenting. Are you one of those people that kind of likes to get in front of an audience, or is it something that you know kind of makes you erect?
Oh no, no, like, it doesn't bother me to get in front of people. Like it's just so like natural for me, and my daughter told me one day when she was in kindergarten, she's like, "Mom," my mom was sitting there when she said it. She's like, "Mom, when I have to talk in front of the class, I just pretend like I'm on stage in the spotlight, and there's like a million people watching me, and then I'm not so nervous." I was like, oh, my gosh, that's so me.
That's funny.
And my mom just looked at her and was like, oh, wow, you have a clone. So, no, that doesn't bother me at all, like, talking in front of people. I'm more nervous about, like, being on this video or, like, making a phone call when I get real nervous about that. So.
I think you're the first presenter that we've had that have said that they're not – like every other presenter is like, oh, I hated it. I just couldn't do it the first time. And you're like, woohoo!
I was like, yeah, I'm just in front of people. They're like listening to me. Center of attention, yes. So, well, yeah, that's just – I don't know. You know, I was a cheerleader. I was a dancer. You know, things like that. It's just like I'm used to, you know, being in front of people. So.
Sure.
Well, you know, one of the questions we've got to ask you – and this is because John Samuelson really wants to hear about this. Tell us about your shoes and this whole shoes and EDU thing.
I have an addiction to shoes. So, and I don't even have shoes right now. I do have
Instagram photos of your shoes all the time.
I do. I'm so bad. Like, I get so excited about my shoes that I will like post them online, and so I guess that's kind of how it started. My mom's obsessed with shoes. So like, you know, I kind of got that
genetic
from her.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. She broke her foot this week, and she's so upset. She's like, I just bought a new pair of boots, and I can't wear but one. This is the worst thing that ever happened to me. I was like, maybe it's the plates up and down your leg. That could be the worst part, but, you know.
It seems like...
She went roller skating, by the way. I want to point out that my 62-year-old mom went roller skating, and that's how she broke her leg. But.
Wow.
Oh, my gosh.
It seems like there were a group of you guys that kind of talked about shoes. Maybe like last year, I saw on Twitter like a big stream of just like edgy shoes or something.
Yeah, we do. Angela really
Mayer, right?
Yes, she's a shoe person too, and she is, and Jamie's a big shoe person. So we got the shoes going.
That's hilarious. So.
It's an obsession. I can't help it.
So you're pretty passionate about using technology in education. For any other teachers that may be listening who aren't comfortable with technology, would you have any advice to give them?
Start small. There's obviously something that you can that you've used that you're comfortable with that's maybe not towards education. And I think that's kind of what I always tell people. What is it that you always use anyway? Is it your cell phone? Is there some kind of app that you use a lot? Or is it, I hate PowerPoint. That used to be on my Twitter profile, and I got tired of getting hate mail from people. But I hate PowerPoint. But, if that's what you're comfortable with, then, okay, let's start with that. And then add to it, you know. And I even tell that to the kids. Okay, you're comfortable with this. You know, every day talking to your friends, well, let's add the education component to it. And so, that's what I always tell them. Start small. Start with one thing you know and add to it a little bit at a time, a little bit at a time. Just don't get stuck in the rut of, oh, well, I know how to do PowerPoint. So.
Right.
Sure.
Keep growing.
Yes, definitely.
Well, I know that as a teacher, you've interacted with quite a few adults and students in your career. Is there one particular interaction that you can think of that's really going to stick with you for the rest of your life?
I don't know. There's so many. Like, I just have so many things that just come to mind.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Yeah. Wow. Now we have awkward silence.
Yeah.
We play music during this time on the recording, so.
And the best part is we won't edit it out either.
Very nice. I don't really know. I mean, there's just been so many people. Like, I've just, I've worked at, three different schools and done so many different grade levels. I mean, I can just think of every year there was somebody or something that, really kind of pushed me, whether it was somebody online or, someone face-to-face. And kids, oh gosh, I could just sit here for days and talk about, students that really, pushed me, I learned from them just as much as they learned from me. Sometimes I, wonder about, are they learning from me? Oh my gosh. and I have, like, there's a couple of groups of kids that, were always like, they're my babies. Some of the seniors, they were my cheerleader baby girls, and they've had a lot of drama lately with their social media. So, they went viral. That's not good.
Oh, no.
Not good. You cheerleading song goes viral. It's not a good thing. So, they're kind of, been, yeah. There's just kids and people.
So, kind of think back 5 to 10 years and give yourself a piece of advice. Yourself now, give your former self a piece of advice that, thinking back to maybe when you started in education, what would you tell yourself?
To chill out. I probably tell myself that this week too. I take it way too personal. I take, the parent criticism. I take the student criticism. The student failure, or is my failure in my mind? I would have told myself that. Probably should tell myself that today.
Yeah.
To literally chill out, calm down, have fun with it. My first year of teaching, I was I had a lot of, it was a small private school in a small country town, and I was the outsider, so the parents weren't too excited that their kid got stuck with the outsider, and I was out to prove that we were going to be good, and those poor kids, they wrote term papers in first grade, they're reading on fifth grade level, I just needed to chill out, I didn't have to prove anything to anybody, and, I still feel like that. I feel like with this new class, oh my gosh, they're not doing well, what am I going to do, and I'm a failure, so chill out, that's my thing, chill out, have fun, and I keep forgetting to do that.
I think that's one of the burdens of, like, a passionate educator, is that you do bring a lot of stuff home, and you do need to chill out. Everyone's, like, waking up at 3 a.m. because you're thinking about something that happened in class. It's like, on one hand, you really care about it. On the other hand, you're like, this is crazy, So.
Exactly. So, my poor kids, I know they're probably like, oh, gosh, Mom just went into some kind of zone on the phone because she's looking at something, Oh, I had an idea. So.
Well, if someone were to describe you in 3 words, what 3 words would you hope that they would use?
That's a good question, Todd. I have never seen that one.
That's a good one.
It's like, hey, let's dump Amanda. I would hope they would use. I hope they would use. This is such a simple word, but kind. Because, I worry that I'm not as kind as I need to be. And, I always think about my daughter and I always think kind when I think of her. And I always get jealous of that. I wish I was, as nice as she was. So there's one. So I got 2 more.
And we have all night, by the way.
Oh, good. Yes. I keep thinking of all these words I don't want them to think. Isn't that horrible? Let's see. I would hope that they would. I don't know. I don't know. I worry so many times that I'm always joking around so much that people automatically go to, oh, Amanda, she's funny, and they don't realize that I actually know stuff. So I guess I would hope people thought I was knowledgeable about something other than shoes and cracking a joke and Alabama football, So, you know, and I guess the other one, I would really want the other one, I would want teacher. Because, you know, because that is what I do. And, you know, so, like, I hear so often going, when you describe yourself, don't describe yourself by your career. And I thought, but, you know, that's a huge part of me. You know, if it's, I went to the Smithsonian in D.C. one time, and I was by myself, and these kids started asking questions about the moon rover. And I was, I had just, like, 2 months before been at JPL when they landed the Curiosity on Mars. And, they were asking, you know, so I had already been talking about this with people, and they started asking questions about the moon rovers and the Mars rovers and what's the difference, and I just started talking, and next thing I know, I've got, like, this whole audience, and we're going through, like, the space thing, and I was like, you know, I guess I'm always going to be a teacher no matter what I do, so, yeah, I guess I would want that to be one of the words, you know, even if I was teaching adults or kids or whatever, I would want that to be something that.
I think that's a good answer.
Yeah, that's awesome. So this is the one that generally stumps a guest. Has there been a time in your career that you've fallen flat on your face or made a mistake that you've really kind of learned from?
Like every day?
Yeah.
Like, I'm just going to be honest. Like, I'm telling you, I've had the hardest week ever. You know, it was like, you know, it's like I keep learning from it and I have to do something about it. But there's so many times, you know, I know when I taught math that there were times that I totally got discouraged and just kind of gave up and just went to the old school, get out the textbooks, get out the pencil paper stuff, and it wasn't working. And, you know, and I saw it happening. You know, I could just see myself just, you know. And so next year when I got the opportunity to teach science, I was like, okay, I can't do this, you know, throw the books out, let's move on, and, you know, so there's been a lot of times, you know, where I saw that happening, so, sure. Yeah, it's like I see it every day, I'm like my worst critic, you know?
Sure, yeah. for sure.
So, what is something right now that you are really passionate about?
Right now? I would say that researching STEM a lot lately, how to get into schools. You know, if I had my way, I would so open up a STEM school for kids, like elementary school kids with ADHD. Like, that was my goal. You know, so I've been really researching. And it's been, you know, I was, when I went to JPL for the Mars rover landing, I got to meet head of NASA, and he looked at me, and he was like, I know there's a teacher here, somebody told me there was a teacher here, and I was like, yeah, that'd be me, the only teacher, and he was like, yeah, we need to do something about STEM in schools, because we're not getting people applying for jobs that know what they're supposed to, and it was like, from that moment, you know, and that was I was already a science teacher, you know, and I was already doing a lot of hands-on stuff, and it's just been kind of, from then on, it's been a lot of research for me, is like, you know, are these makerspaces working, you know, is the engineering focus, is coding working, you know, that teaching kids this, is this going to, you know, progress better as time goes on? And so, yeah, I would say that would be my biggest passion right now. And that was really why I was excited about teaching this course this year, is because, you know, we're getting all the tech stuff out of the way. We're kind of moving into the STEM stuff as the year goes on. So
do you teach, you teach like online stuff? What's the course? Talk to us about the technology course you're teaching. Just kind of what does it look like?
And
I know you're kind of doing it as you go, it sounds like, which is awesome, too. So
definitely doing it as I go. Yeah, because I found out that I was going to teach it 2 weeks before school started. So.
Well, yeah, yeah. It's always fun.
I teach 5 times a day in sixth grade. And we have a science lab, I mean a computer lab, so it's just, you know, a lot of old school that way. But usually, like right now, we're fixing to start making web portfolios, and they're, you know, building websites. We're doing simple Weebly, or they can use EduBlogs. I'm giving them the choice because I've got some that are way up here, some that are way down here. So sure. That way they can kind of choose what they're more comfortable with. You know, we did basic Microsoft Office, but, you know, we couldn't just make a PowerPoint, of course. They had to make interactive games and things like that. But I really wanted to make sure that, in case anybody said anything, I hit all the standards, you know, that the state has in technology. And I kind of want to get that out of the way. And so, you know, really my courses are, you know, I spend some time, I give them notes. This is how we do it. I show them examples. And then I'll post, you know, an assignment on on Edmodo, you know, for them to go in there and it kind of has, you know, checklists and stuff. We're starting these this year. Sixth graders don't know how to follow checklists.
No, that's true.
I've
honestly thrown rubrics out the window. Like, I'm done with them. I'm not doing them anymore. And the reality is I want them going beyond the rubric, but they can't read them. And they won't read them. They can't read them. And I'm just done with it. I'm done with that battle.
And mine were just simple, like, you know, you have to insert clip art. Check it off. And so, like, I've started contract kind of things with them where they sign it off as they do each one of those. And still, it was like, that's what I'm struggling with right now, is trying to figure out how to get them to put, you know, do, show me what they know, and this is what I want to see, and them actually going with that, because it's not working so well.
So what are some of your favorite tech tools to use with kids? If somebody were to say, give me something that I can use that's great with kids, what would you say?
I would say, you know, let's go with basic Weebly websites. Like, I love doing that with kids and seeing them create things that are on their own, you know, anything that allow them to create something that they're passionate about. Like, you know, even us doing PowerPoints, they did stuff that was just crazy stuff. Now, if I had to see another Florida State, you know, we love Winston. PowerPoint, one more time, I was going to actually die. But he's from our area, so if you're wondering why, okay. That was a lot of those. But, you know, anything like, I'm kind of like stuck with that website builder. And I like a lot of those comic, where they make the comic books.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. I like those, not so much in my class, I guess, but when I was using a regular classroom, when I was in a typical science classroom, that was one thing I could really get the kids that were not good writers to tell me a lot of information. Conversations back and forth. Trying to think. I just had one in my head, and I was talking, and then it went away. Oh, S'more. I love S'more.
Oh, yeah.
Love S'more. I love that they can, you know, insert what they want to, and it's just anything that's like pull and click where they don't have to spend time making it so pretty. They can spend time giving me information.
Mm-hmm.
I like those kind of things. So things that already come out pretty, because when you have sixth graders or any ages around there, they focus so much on pretty. They don't focus on, you know, content. So
right. Chris,
sorry.
Yeah.
Sorry. So that about wraps it up for tonight. So that's usually the question we go out on. And I just want to really thank you for taking some time and spending half an hour with us. I know that, you know, you're a hardworking teacher, and it sounds like you've had hard week, and we're all back at it right now. But just really thanks for taking some time to spend with us this evening.
No, thanks for having me. I was really excited to be asked.
Yeah, so. Definitely.
And how can people connect with you, Amanda?
Follow me on Twitter. I forgot to say that earlier. Amanda C. Dykes, D-Y-K-E-S. At Amanda C. Dykes. And I have a blog. It's upsidedown.edublogs.org. So you can connect with me on there. So
cool. And Todd mentioned some ways you could connect with us. You can connect with us on Twitter at EduAllStarsHQ and the hashtag EduAllStars. We also have a website, EduAllStars.com. You can search out Edu All Stars with no spaces in iTunes to find all the other 30 episodes that we've done in the past.
And we've got some great guests coming up in the next 2 weeks. Next Wednesday at 7:30 p.m. Central Standard Time, we'll be talking with Tony Sinaitis. And then Wednesday, January 29th, we will be live with John Samuelson. So definitely check those interviews out. Thanks for listening today. And like we said at the beginning of the show, if you guys can leave us ratings on iTunes or a review, that would really help us, and we really appreciate it. Thank you again, Amanda, for coming on today. We had a great time talking to you, and I'm really glad that you were able to come on for us.
No, thank you for having me again.
Yeah, thanks, Amanda.
Everyone have a great evening.